WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome in to the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. Griffin Bloomstein and Josh Rothert here. Spring break edition of the pod. It's going to be a crazy one. We have some breaking news, emergency podcast. Adrian Autry has been fired. Syracuse men's basketball looking for a new head coach for the first time in 4 years. Adrian Autry out after 3 seasons. This is going to be a wild, wild offseason for the Orange. Also, some rumblings about Syracuse's athletic director. Toledo might be where Syracuse is going. It's going to be a crazy podcast. Stay tuned to all of it. Josh and I will break down everything. First off, Josh, want to ask how your spring break is doing, how everything is going, and just how you doing, my guy?
Well, you're going to one-up me there. I mean, we had a couple nights in Toronto, and that was fun.
Okay.
We went to a Raptors game. It was a fun trip, but back home yesterday to watch Syracuse in the ACC tournament, and home for the rest of the break, just kind of relaxing. How was Europe over there for you?
Yep, you know, as Josh said, I am in Europe. We've hit some pit stops. I'm not gonna lie. We started off in Spain, Barcelona, Madrid, over to not Paris, but France, mm-hmm. And then we ate lunch in Germany one day, now in Switzerland. So
wow.
it's a fun trip. I'm not gonna lie.
That's a lot, jam packed right there.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little excited to get back to Syracuse. So
oh boy.
I never thought I'd say that, but Syracuse is great, and you know, as much as Europe is, it's no Syracuse. Obviously, it's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. We're gonna get you updated on everything Syracuse athletics, and I kind of get some not nostalgia, but I feel left out because everything is happening right now, and you know, in Europe, not in Syracuse. I mean, Josh and I aren't there, obviously, but with everything going on right now, it's a little weird to feel like that we're not right there where we aren't in with everything and covering everything every week. But we had to hop on emergency podcast. Wasn't sure if we were going to actually get one for spring break, but we are. So that's good. First, Josh, want to get your thoughts. Adrian Autry fired. We kind of knew this was going to happen, but the fact that we got the official word the day after Syracuse lost to SMU. Wasn't really a close game. It was a little close at halftime, but SMU pulled away in that second half. Just want to get your overall thoughts on the whole firing and the game itself.
Well, I thought the game itself was kind of just a microcosm of the entire season. I mean, once again, I feel like Syracuse, they show spurts, and you know, you got that pretty much almost every game this season. They even gave you 15 minutes of good basketball against Duke, who I think will likely be the national champions this year. And they gave you a couple good stints against North Carolina. And then you saw it again against SMU yesterday. They were in it for the first 25 minutes. And then it just kind of unravels quickly. And that was the case once again yesterday. J.J. Starling. I mean, this was the longest tenured member of the Orange. And he goes out in a pretty sad way. Just 4 points in his last 6 points in his last four games, which pretty brutal end to what I thought was a good career. I know he underperformed to some people. He wasn't asked to be the primary scoring option this season, and he definitely wasn't. But I still think, regardless of your opinions on Starling, I think it was kind of an upsetting way to end what I thought he deserved a better end to his career. I don't know what your thoughts on that were, but just to kind of see him his playing time taper off. I know he wasn't playing great, but 6 points in your last four games to a school that he gave a lot to was a little bit underwhelming for me.
I mean, the fact that he got 13 minutes in that game is absurd. It's not more so a credit on Adrian Autry giving him 13 minutes. It's the fact that he didn't deserve more than 13 minutes. The fact that he didn't get 13 minutes, more than 13 minutes. And I mean, if Adrian Autry's not playing you, that's not like on him being petty. Like, that's on the fact that Syracuse was in a better position to win without you on the floor. And so for JJ not to get that much playing time, it certainly says something. I mean, this was a guy that showed flashes last season that maybe, he could be the guy in his senior season. Obviously, dealt with some injuries in his career with Syracuse, but for him to not perform at the highest level, you thought he would maybe make that jump this season. He didn't.
Never
To go
happened.
out. Yeah, I mean, exactly. With good to go out with 2 points, going 1 for 6 in 13 minutes, just kind of sums up at where this team is at. Donnie had 7 points in 34 minutes. He fouled out, had four turnovers. I mean, Syracuse lost 86-69 to SMU in the first round. Like, it's just like it sums up the season. And so when I'm not sure if you, Josh, you listened to the post-game press conference where Syracuse strolled out Tyler Betsey and Nate Kings to talk,
The two most
and
deserving from that game, at least.
yes, honestly, and Nate Kings has probably been, I'm gonna say it, Nate Kings has been Syracuse's best player.
I picked him at the start of the year.
You
That was
did,
my guy.
and he's been giving the most effort. He's been playing the most defense. He's been your most consistent shooter from three, and Betsey knocked down a couple threes as well. But the fact. By a couple, I mean five, and had 7 rebounds. So Betsey played great, but the fact that those were the two players that you trot out at a press conference in your last game of the season, not JJ Starling, who was supposed to be your leader, not Donnie Freeman, who was supposed to be your most talented player and the highest recruit since Carmelo Anthony, that is embarrassing, and everyone sounded depressed. It was awful. I'm not going to put it any lightly. That press conference was not fun to listen to. And you kind of assumed going into today, we're recording this on Wednesday, that it was going to be Adrian Autry's last time speaking as the head coach of Syracuse men's basketball.
And I think we could kind of see that over the last, I don't know, 2, 3 weeks. Every press conference, it just seemed like he got less and less angry and more accepting of this isn't the team he thought he had, or the game plan that they were instituting wasn't working out. I mean, you could just see in his eyes and in his tone of his voice that the writing was on the wall. They were going to try and give it one last shot, but it was likely going to amount to nothing, and it didn't amount to anything. I mean, the lackluster effort in the second half, I felt like they were just completely dejected. As soon as they got down 5, 7 points, they just gave up, and that was kind of the case the last 3 weeks of the season. I mean, ever since the little 13-0 run that Duke had to end the first half, I don't think they really fought in any game. I mean, even the Wake Forest game where they were leading a little bit, or the Pitt game where they were leading a little bit. There was just no like energy. They didn't want to pull ahead and win the game. And I think that says a lot about this team had kind of either given up on Autry as the coach, or they had just given up on the season in general. They were just completely done, which I don't think it's fair to discredit the players because you would hope they're out there giving their best every game, but certainly didn't it didn't feel like that. I mean, their last win ends up being against SMU. They lose their last six games of the season.
For the first time in 50 years. Like
It's
that.
and as sad as it is to say, this year's team is going to end up being more disappointing than last year's team because last year's team didn't have the talent and they didn't perform. This year's team did and they didn't.
You got
Exactly.
equal result, and you shouldn't. I mean, this team should have won 22, 21, 22 games. They should have beat Houston at the start of the year. They shouldn't have lost to Hofstra. They shouldn't have lost to BC. They should have closed out. They should have won three of their last five games, and they didn't.
It makes me think, what would have changed if this team beat Houston? This team probably would be an NCAA tournament team had they beaten
No
Houston.
doubt.
It's
I mean,
crazy.
so many games. So many games they had. I mean, not every game was a one-score game like the Houston game that went to OT, but you look at the Clemson game where they were in it in the last minute. That was Donnie's return game to start ACC play. If that's a win, I mean, Clemson's probably going to be dancing. They've kind of trended down a little bit towards the end of the season, but they're a top 40 team in the net rankings. That would be a massive win right now. So there's so many games, not just the bad loss. Losses, but the wins that the potentially good wins that Autry just could not get a hand on. He couldn't win those games. That's what you look back on at the end of the season, and you really realize that this team is a couple baskets away, is a couple plays away in a couple games, separating themselves from being a possible bubble team versus just flat out disappointing and absolutely no chance at making March Madness.
Houston is number 7 in the net rankings. You could have actually beaten that team. You made a couple more free throws, literally just one in regulation, and you would have beaten Houston. That is the type of stuff that Adrian Autry is going to be remembered for as the Syracuse basketball head coach. Not getting it done against ranked teams. You have a couple notable wins, North Carolina at home in his first season, Tennessee this season. But besides that, a lot of double-digit losses, a lot of ranked losses, a lot of quad one losses. We all saw it was happening. I feel like it's tough. You got to admit it. If you're a Syracuse basketball fan, Adrian Autry was part of this program. He was a winning player. He was an assistant coach while Syracuse was doing great. He recruited a lot of top talent for this team and for this program. So it's sad to see that it didn't work out. I think that's how I'm going to put it. It's disappointing that it didn't work out. But I'm going to say it. It's the right decision. Syracuse needed to move on.
Yep.
They realized it doesn't work. They weren't getting the fundraising. They weren't getting the NIL. They weren't getting wins with a talented team like this. This team should have won more games than it lost. And it didn't. And that is embarrassing. So, Josh, I'm gonna give you the floor right now. Syracuse, there's been a lot of rumors. Jerry McNamara, Hodgson, Schertz. Where do you think Syracuse should go? And then where is Syracuse going to go with his head coaching job?
Well, I want to, I guess on the heels of will go, I guess I want to play a little game. We can have a little draft here.
Sure.
I'll say we each get two picks on who I think they will go. But first I'll just say I've heard a lot of stuff. I heard a lot of stuff today from a lot of different people about where this could possibly be going. So I have legitimately no idea where I think they will go because there's been a lot of people on Twitter saying a lot of different things, and it's obviously going to work itself out. I do think that the impending athletic director, which could be made official tomorrow morning, is a great sign that this team either knows where they want to go, this program knows where they want to go, or they want to be in a position where they can move very quickly. And I think that's been evident since the chancellor was announced a couple weeks ago, and now the AD was expected to be hired before May 10th. They end up going all the way to May 11th, or excuse me, March 11th. And I think that's a good sign because the conference tournaments, obviously this weekend, if there's an upset and one of those guys doesn't make the tournament, I think that's where you want to be able to swoop in, and you can't do that unless you have the AD. So the AD is expected to be Brian Blair. That was the school's focus throughout its search, and he is, I think, Griffin, a phenomenal hire. He doesn't appear to have any ties to Syracuse at all. 4 years at Toledo previously, also Washington State and Rice. And Toledo, pretty, I would say, possibly the top program in the MAC when you look at universities in the Mid-American Conference. 13 conference championships in his 4 years there, and an over 280% boost in gifts to the school just year over year. So you're talking about a guy that knows how to fundraise and will find the people to put money in the pockets of Syracuse. So with that out of the way,
Wait. Before
do
you
you
get
want to
to,
have the first pick or? Oh, okay.
but I want, since you brought it up, I want to touch on this new potential athletic director
Yeah.
before we get into the head coaching, because I think it will impact the new head coach quite a bit. This new athletic director, who Pete Thamel, ESPN writer, former Syracuse alum, and a lot of other outlets have reported that the new athletic director is going to be the current Toledo athletic director, Brian Blair. Now, we don't know a whole lot about him personally, but he spent time with Rice, South Carolina. He was a former Division I football player at Wofford. So he has plenty of ties in athletic departments. As you said, Josh, fundraising and NIL are big steps for him. The fact that Syracuse went outside the program and went with a name that many
Yep.
people hadn't really heard of, it is, I don't want to say hopeful, but it brings a lot of relief to Syracuse fans. Obviously, there was a lot to go with the Heather Like discussion, the HR complaint that the Daily Orange broke last week. Nick Carparelli was another name. He works for the Bowl. He's worked with a couple other athletic departments, including Under Armour and some universities as well. So those were the two bigger names, I would say. And then Brian Blair came out of nowhere. I mean, I hadn't really heard a lot about him until today, so that was interesting. But because I think that the head coach is going to be tied to the new athletic director, expect Brian Blair to be the new athletic director. We will have a post on Twitter, obviously, if that gets confirmed tomorrow. But do you want to get your initial thought? You said this is a good thing.
Yeah.
How do you expect this to go, the whole head coaching decision with Brian Blair, I would say?
Well, I think if you equate the fact that, I mean, you evaluate Brian Blair right now, he's done an incredible job in 4 years at Toledo. This really feels like, even if it was flying under the radar and everyone on Syracuse Twitter was pumping Caparelli or Carapelli or whatever his name is. And you know all these other guys, I think when you evaluate what Brian Blair did at Toledo, this looks like a home run hire. And I think that should be the tone that this whoever is doing the hiring, if it's the AD, if it's Mike Haney, whoever's working on the new head coach for the men's basketball team, it needs to be the same. It needs to be the same standard. It needs to be a home run hire. And so I think that's where you can start to get into the fact that there will be guys available for coaching cycles, and there will be guys not available for coaching cycles at any point in the future. So I will just start by saying right now, Jerry McNamara is a guy that will be available if something doesn't work out. I don't think Jerry McNamara should get the first, I don't think he should be the top guy in the coaching search. He's done great things at Siena this year. They're going dancing. I mean, that is a big step, and GMAC is doing a fantastic job. But I don't think he should be at the top of the list. And I think it kind of falls back on the fact that you need to be all in on this. This needs to be a decision where you are, I mean, they fired every single coach on the team. This was a complete cleansing of the basketball coaching staff. There was no one left. So if you're going to completely rinse out the Syracuse brand, all the old Syracuse coaches, you get Alan Griffin out of there and Engelstad and all of them out. If you go and hire Jerry McNamara, it doesn't feel like it's a complete wash anymore because he's part of the tree. He's part of the Boeheim tree. He spent time as an assistant here, and I think the same can be said for Mike Hopkins. So I think you have to steer away from that if you want to make this as seamless and as perfect as it can be. There cannot be a lick of Syracuse affiliation in the new coaching staff.
Wow, I mean, I agree to an extent. First off, I want to give credit to the search committee. Steve Ballantyne,
Ian
Ian
McIntyre.
McIntyre, John Lally, I Mac Mike Tirico. I think having those specific people on the committee picking the new AD, John Lally, obviously one of the biggest donors that Syracuse University has, Syracuse Athletics specifically. He's a university trustee. Having someone like him picking the new athletic director, along with Mike Tirico, Ian McIntyre, the men's soccer coach, being one of the more respected coaches on this campus, having people like that pick the new AD gives you a little faith. The fact that they went outside the program, outside their sphere, gives you a little confidence that they might be willing to do it again. They won't be picking the new basketball head coach necessarily, but they probably have some influence in doing so. Now, you said Jerry McNamara wouldn't be necessarily your first pick. We can play this game now. You want I'll go first. Who
Yeah,
do
I'll
I
let you have the
think?
first pick. Who do you
It's
think? Who do you think? Yes, who do you think? Not who you do want.
hard. I don't think they get shirts.
I don't think they get shirts either. He wouldn't even be in my top four.
Top, I mean,
Well, if we're each going to take two, that would be the
sure.
top four in my eyes.
Yeah, sure. Shirtson is interesting because he's a very good coach. I really like Hodgson. He's interesting. He's who I think they will get.
Really?
Yes.
Oh boy.
He's from Buffalo, coached there, and he's doing great things. He's wanted everywhere. He's from the Nate Oates tree. He plays high flying offense. He's a good coach. And when I saw his video, one of his players won the American Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Newcomer of the Year. First time that's ever happened in the American Conference. The video really, it did not only inspired me, but it kind of gave me the sense of who he's going to be as a head coach.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, I can see that guy. I could get behind that guy. And that's specifically who the fans really want. If you're scrolling Twitter, which I know I am, I know you are Josh, AJ, who can't be here, is really scrolling Twitter as well. The fans want Hodgson. The only thing is, I'm not he's not gonna be my home run hire. And I'll leave it at
Wow.
that.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. I'll let you, Josh, go. I think that's who they're going to be. I think it's going to be a safe pick. I think he would be a great coach. I think he would be a winner. I think he would do a great job. But I don't think he would be the home run hire. He would be a triple with an error gets home, but not a home run. Not an out of the park home run.
Well, that is interesting. I figured you would go with McNamara, just on the fact that I think there's been a little bit of buzz about that.
There has.
I think for me right now, I think Hodgson is probably my 1A. I have heard, and I'm not going to say there's truth to any of this, but I have heard a decent buzz about Mike Hopkins potentially being looped in here. And
Wow.
I don't think he's the top of the list either. I think right now the top of the list is probably McNamara and Hodgson. And it's probably, I would guess those are probably the top two. I don't know if you get shirts. So I think my second, I think Hodgson is probably the guy who gets the job if it's not McNamara. So I'll take McNamara with my first pick. And then I've heard a lot about, I think it's possible here, Luke Murray is one of the best assistant coaches in the country. He's at UConn right now under Dan Hurley, and
And
he's another young guy.
his dad is Bill Murray, the actor. So
Yes.
like you could get, I'm not gonna say the exact movie quote. We all know what we're talking about, zombies. But Bill Murray at a Syracuse game would be kind of electric, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Look, I think Luke Murray is a name to watch out for in this search. It's he's been different places. He coached at Louisville. He's been at UConn for a couple seasons now. This is Hurley's top assistant, and I think this is one of the guys that was fundamental in the back-to-back national championship years for the Huskies. again, doesn't have any head coaching experience, which is a little bit of a downgrade from Hodgson in that perspective, but he has coached right underneath, I think we can say it right now, probably the best head coach in college basketball in the 2020s. I mean, he won
Probably.
back-to-back national championships. Dan Hurley is an outstanding coach. If Hodgson's not a home run hire, this guy, I think, has probably the highest ceiling out of anyone. He's won on a national stage, even if it's not as the head coach of the team. But a Luke Murray, you could be looking at a pretty young combo here. Murray coached in the Big East. I think maybe he brings some of that Big East mentality basketball that Syracuse is starving for back to Syracuse. So I don't necessarily think this is one of the guys at the top of the list, but I think he's a name to watch out for, and I think he's worthy of my second pick.
All right. Mean, so do you think Hodgson is the guy that they will hire?
I think, yeah, that would be who I think they end up hiring.
Okay.
If I
Now
had
let's go.
the first pick, I would say I think Hodgson is probably the 1A and McNamara is the 1B right now, from what I've heard.
All right. Now let's go with the guys that we hire. We would hire.
We
If
would
we
hire.
were Syracuse's athletic director, who would we hire? And it's gonna be tough. I'm not gonna lie. I've thought about it. I've gone back and forth, and I think depending on how this season goes, might impact, especially with the tournament and the rest of the conference tournaments. I'm gonna go Jerry McNamara.
Really? You like him
It
more than Hodgson?
I it's difficult to say, and I don't necessarily like one more than the other. The part of me says, I think GMAC has proven himself this season to be a very good coach. And that is something that this team needs. A very good coach, a very good motivator, a very good leader of men. Hodgson is that as well, but GMAC has proven that to be that as well. So the part that takes me over the top with GMAC is that winning with a guy that is Syracuse, winning with a Syracuse alum, superstar, national champion, longtime assistant coach, would just mean more. If Syracuse could win with Jerry McNamara, it would mean more than if Syracuse would win with Brian Hodgson. Now, which one do I think would have a better chance of Syracuse winning with? Hodgson might have the slight edge. Do I think GMAC could do it? Yes. Do I think Hodgson could do it? Yes. But winning with GMAC would mean more.
I think if you can get him, I mean, I know we said there's probably no way you get him. I think Josh Schertz is probably
Okay.
who I would want the most. I mean, the guy has 18 at 18 wins in the NCAA Division II level in the tournament. I mean, this guy won 30 games routinely at Lincoln Memorial, and then he goes to Indiana State, turns that program around, wins 32 games his final year, and gets to go to St. Louis, and he is probably going to win. He might win Coach of the Year this season. It could be Travis Steele at Miami, Ohio. Probably is going to be Travis Steele. I don't know how you don't give it to a team if they have an undefeated season. But Schertz was probably the top, the front runner for that for a while. They had a couple of hiccups there at the end of the season, but they're going to be a probably 8 to 10 seed in March Madness. And I mean that team can hang with anyone. I think when you look at what Josh Schertz is doing, also a New York kid. I mean, I think he'd fit in well with the culture at Syracuse. So I think that's who I would want the most. If we're going to say Schertz is completely off the table, I think it's Hodgson for me. I mean, that guy, like you said, he wins everywhere he goes. And he's a Western New York guy, coached at Buffalo. That's close enough for me. I don't think you need to have it right in the backyard. In the same vicinity would be nice. I think you want some aspect of that New York coach to it, but it doesn't have to be like that. And I don't think it needs to be within the Syracuse family, because while I'm not going to say Jerry McNamara is not a better coach than Adrian Autry, because he most definitely is, any of those names is going to be an upgrade from what we've seen out of Autry versus some of these other guys. I mean, Hodgson has South Florida in first place. Schertz has St. Louis in first place. McNamara won the MAC with Siena. So everyone's going to be an upgrade. I just think McNamara versus Schertz or Hodgson, I think Schertz or Hodgson are one or two levels ahead of McNamara when you're talking about how big of an upgrade that could be.
Yeah, I mean, very, very well could be. Hodgson, if you're coaching in Buffalo, you still feel how big Syracuse basketball was.
Yeah.
And when Hodgson was in Buffalo, Syracuse was obviously a lot better than it is now. It's all kind of crazy that we got all of this information one day. Like, we got Autry fired. We've gotten some intel. Maybe it's GMAC. Maybe it's Hodgson they're trying to get. The Field of 68 has gotten Jerry McNamara on an interview. Jim Boeheim said on Q Sports Talk earlier that GMAC was getting calls from BC and Georgia Tech, which is very crazy that Jim Boeheim just kind of said that out loud.
Yeah.
Jim Boeheim kind of said that it all fell on Donnie and JJ not performing, and then Autry's a good coach. And I mean, it's been a crazy 24 hours for a Syracuse basketball fan. And that on top of the athletic director news, which we could get by the time that this podcast comes out, probably on Thursday. So that, I mean, it's a crazy, crazy time to be a Syracuse athletics fan. And it's you want to stay tuned to the Ostrom Avenue podcast, wherever you're listening, whether that's Spotify, Apple, YouTube at WER.org. Josh, I want to go back to you about how is there hope for this program? Like, do you see that can Syracuse make a wrong decision here? Is it possible that they don't land a GMAC? Is it possible they don't land a Hodgson?
Yes.
Is it possible they don't land a Schertz?
Yes, they could absolutely make a wrong decision here. I think everyone that reads into this sees the six guys or the seven guys that are mentioned, and they immediately assume that those are the only six, seven coaches that whoever is making this decision, whether it's Mike Haney or whether it's Brian Blair tomorrow. If they go completely rogue and just go someone that like is off everyone's radar, I think that could get a little upsetting. And I think the fact of the matter is that the fans have been fed up for quite some time now. I mean, the rebuild, if you want to call this a rebuild or the revamp of this team, people were impatient going into last season, going into this season, and now at the end of this season, they're still impatient. And it's only really getting worse right now. I mean, the attendance was abysmal this season, and for good reason. They didn't have a good product, and no one cared to watch that. So I think I'm not suggesting that the athletic director and the chancellor should be taking into account people's opinions on Twitter about who they desire to be the head coach, but I think that the fan base should have absolutely, they should have their opinions voiced, because I mean, this is unacceptable. You're going on a five-year tournament drought now for one of the most prestigious universities in college basketball history. So that is a little troubling that if they just completely go off track here and they go get their own guy that wasn't even mentioned, wasn't even in the vicinity of what people have been talking about, which I don't think they will. But if they do, that is where the wrong decision could be. If they do that and they screw the fan base again and go get their own guy, and he comes in and turns out to do nothing. I mean, you look at Kurt Cignetti in college football. A lot of teams interviewed him, didn't hire him. I bet they wish they had Kurt Cignetti right now. If you look at where Josh Schertz or Brian Hodgson or maybe even Jerry McNamara ends up, and you look 3 years down the line and two or three of those guys are all being very successful at Power Four schools and Syracuse made the wrong decision again, I think you're going to have an even more irate fan base. I mean, they're pretty restless already. That is where the wrong decision could be for me.
And Syracuse reportedly interviewed Kurt Cignetti for their head coaching job. So that was something that was interesting. Obviously, the fact Mike Waters reported Syracuse.com Oakstrom Avenue podcast guest, said that Syracuse reportedly interviewed around four people for their athletic director job. Brian Blair was one of those people, but one that hadn't really been in the public eye and had been reported a lot. But if Syracuse went with a guy that was a little under the radar there, you never know
Yep.
who they could go with for head coach.
Yeah.
So that's something we'll definitely keep you updated on. Bobby Hurley was the name that Dick
Yeah.
Vitale sent out. Was like, hey,
Not
let's Syracuse go
impressed.
get Bobby Hurley from Arizona State, Dan Hurley's brother. Don't think they're going to go in that
No.
direction. I think we can be a little sure about that, but it's definitely interesting for that. Since we're here, is there anything else that you want to touch on before we touch on lacrosse quickly?
No, I think we're in a good, I think we're in a good spot overall with everything. I think there's still a lot of speculation, obviously, so that'll just continue to get ironed out. And I hope to hear from Brian Blair maybe tomorrow. I don't know if they'll have a press conference at some point this week. That'd be nice to hear his intentions and hear what he has to say before they make the head coaching decision, maybe, or maybe that's a joint thing. There's obviously not a lot of time in my eyes of if they want to have their first, I think they could very well have the first pick out of any team with them already being eliminated. They could really start calling people as teams start getting bounced from conference tournaments and from the NCAA tournament. I think Syracuse probably ends up being the number one job for all of college basketball this season. So there's definitely going to be a lot of people interested. And yeah, the Ostrom Avenue podcast, of course, has you covered for all of that.
Definitely. I think, I mean, obviously the prestige of Syracuse has maybe fallen off recently, but at a national level, it is still there. Providence, Kansas State, Georgia Tech, Boston College, I guess now Arizona State are
Wait,
probably.
one more quick thing. One more quick thing.
Yeah, sure.
It's interesting that he mentioned Boeheim mentioned McNamara had received calls from those two teams. Yeah, Georgia Tech obviously not nearly as bad of an athletic program, but could you imagine if Jerry McNamara did all this at Siena? I'm not gonna tarnish any of his accomplishments and by saying that I don't think he deserves a Syracuse job. He's done a phenomenal job at Siena. I think it would be career suicide if he ends up going to be Boston College's head coach. That athletic department is so bad. I literally, like I think when I say McNamara is a guy that could be available in future coaching cycles, I think that's if he goes to Georgia Tech, he has a winning season, he has a down year, he has a better year than his previous winning season. And Syracuse is still stagnant. They're still flat. They're not making the NCAA tournament. McNamara has a 25-win season. Georgia Tech makes March Madness. Syracuse calls him. They ask him if he wants to come home. He takes the job. If he goes to Boston College and wins 12 games combined in the next 2 seasons, Jerry McNamara won't be considered for any Power Four coaching job again. And that won't be, I won't even put it on him. I think that program itself is just an absolute dumpster fire. And I think you would have to be an insane person to take that job.
It's definitely a question to be asked. Obviously, Syracuse, it's up in the air whether they can reach the funding of a higher to middle, mid-high tier ACC program. The reports of around 8 million. Adrian Autry said they receive less than that potentially, but wouldn't give a specific number. Obviously, Duke's probably spending around 15, Louisville, Virginia up their funding this year. It's really, really interesting. Boston College, Josh, you mentioned it. Siena might be as good of a job as Boston College. Not necessarily, they won't receive the same funding, but opportunities after that, you might get a better job after doing well at Boston College or after doing better at Siena than you would after doing bad at Boston College, which it's hard to win at Boston College because you're not going to get the NIL funding. They're not going to be the awareness of the program. Georgia Tech's different. I heard reports today that they're going to get around $5.5 million, which is not a lot in the ACC. So, like, even that at a program like Georgia Tech, where Damon Stoudamire came from the NBA, was an assistant coach with the Celtics, it's going to be a really, really weird coaching cycle. Those programs, you have Providence, who's Providence is going to get a lot of attention. because the fact that they don't have football means that a lot of their rev share money is going to go towards basketball. They have a lot of money to spend. Their basketball team, obviously, English didn't do a great job. It's going to be interesting. Kansas State, Jerome Tang got fired, Bobby Hurley as well, over at Arizona State. It's an interesting time to be in a college basketball head coach or assistant coach. So a lot of decisions to be made. Syracuse obviously will probably get this head coaching decision, I would say, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, depending on when South Florida, Siena, St. Louis loses. I would guess it's probably from one of those three schools. It
I think
probably
those are
is.
the top three. I think we established that. That's probably, yeah, 80, I'd probably say 80% chance it's one of those three guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a crazy time to be a Syracuse University Athletics fan. Yeah, I mean, that's all you really got
Do
to
you feel
say.
hopeful finally? I feel like the last 9 months has just been
I felt
pretty beat down. I mean, obviously there was a little bit of excitement at the start of the football season, but not really because the first 2 weeks were not a good showing at all. And
not the football
obviously
season, yes. I
coming
mean,
close to beating Houston was nice, but yeah, that loss. I think this and you talked about the NIL. Is $1 million really going to make you shoot better than 45% at the line against Houston and beat that team? I think this team is getting a little too much grace for losing because of NIL. I mean, they were one free throw away in regulation from beating a top seven team in the country. So I don't think this team was that badly constructed. I think it was poorly coached and the players had a lack of effort as the season went on. But I think to just blatantly blame NIL or the changing college landscape for the reason this team won 15 games, I just don't think that's a good enough excuse. I think there was a myriad of things that could have went a lot better. And I think this team had the capability to win 21 to 23 games.
I agree. I think that the way Syracuse is, though, they could have gotten a better roster just because of the nature of the program. Yes, this team was talented enough to make the tournament. You add a couple million more dollars, make this a 10 to 11, maybe even $12 million roster, $15 million program you add in. I mean, you have to get completely new head coaches. New GM Alex Klein was let go, Brendan Strawn. Alan Griffin, Dan
Alan Griffin.
Engelstad, all gone. No more redev CNY coaches report with Alan Griffin. That's been going on for years, probably close to a decade by now, and that is over. Obviously, redev CNY construction coaches report will probably still happen with a new head coach, but the fact that they just wiped out the complete program, they got rid of the video coordinator.
Yeah,
Like
everyone's gone.
everybody.
I wonder if the student managers, are the team managers out of a job? Do they also go down with the Autry Empire?
And we don't know. That is the question. Probably not. But you have that it raises the question of can this team turn around the program in 1 year? Do the current juniors have life? Do I have life? Am I going to see a NCAA tournament March Madness run in my college tenure? Maybe. Maybe not. You don't know. Let's move on to lacrosse. We'll keep it brief because it's been a long podcast, and I bet Josh is tired and ready to go to bed.
Oh, you think I'm tired? I mean, you got a couple
I
hours on me over there, brother.
know I have a lot of hours. It's wow, it's 3:30 a.m. If Griffin sounds delusional right now, and I'm talking to myself in the third person, you can tell it's early here in Switzerland. It's because that
Is
it's
this the
it.
first time the Ostrom Avenue podcast went international?
I don't think so. We'll
Oh.
have to double check that. I would highly doubt so, though. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe. Maybe it would be fun next year. Maybe we're both international one time. But who knows? So lacrosse, Syracuse men's lacrosse, couple good wins last week. It'll be interesting. This team goes out to Colorado. They're already in Colorado, actually. Saw some Instagram content with Mike Powell. With Mike Powell, one of the Powell brothers. I think it might have been Casey, actually. Syracuse beat Johns Hopkins last weekend, 12 to 8. A little domination win over a top 15 team. Jimmy McCool. Just talk about
Great game.
him.
Great
Really,
game.
really good game. ACC Defensive Player of the Week. Jimmy McCool, Joey Spolina, 7 points, 4 goals, 3 assists. Syracuse clicking on all cylinders. This is the team that we didn't see against Harvard, that we didn't see against Princeton. We didn't really see against Penn either, even though they won. They finally showed themselves they can win a road game.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And like I said last week, you got to win 4 games to count this road trip as success. I think anything short of that, and it defeats the whole reasoning of going on this and getting beat up on the road like you have in prior years. They get out of February and they can win on the road. Who would have thought? I thought they did a really fantastic job against Johns Hopkins. They contain Hunter Chauvet, which is really all you need to do to beat Hopkins, because when Hopkins was down by 7 goals of Virginia last the week before, Chauvet went ballistic in the fourth quarter, and I think he finished that game with 6 or 7 goals. He's an unreal player. But when the defensive midfielders are playing well, this team is really hard to beat. And I think it speaks volumes to the fact that when this team actually wants to move the ball around like they did in this game, and they are capable of doing that, this team is a lot better. Billy Dwan had 2 goals in this game. Griffin, I mean, take Spallina's 7 points out of the equation. Billy Dwan having 2 goals in a game. If you hear that, you're thinking they had a pretty nice day at the office. And that's a pretty sweet feeling. I think when you have the extra pass capability to get it to the long pole, I think that's a pretty sweet feeling. And I think they exemplified that. And I think they won't have any problems in Colorado. I can't imagine this Air Force team. Not a very good team at all. They got crushed by Duke last week. They're 1-5. This should be a statement win for Syracuse. They should put up north of 15 goals. This should be a 10-goal win for Syracuse. And then they should finish the trip on Monday against Denver in similar fashion. I think they are a couple goals better than Denver, and I think we could see Joey Spallina return home second on the all-time points list. I think he needs 16 points, maybe a little bit of a stretch there for him to put together 16 points in those 2 games, but definitely not out of the question with the way he's been playing.
Not out of the question. A little bit of a stretch, I would say. Denver's going to be a little more tough than Air Force. I think a 10-goal win would be a little generous. I think more of a seven-goal win, I would say. I would put it at that. I think I would go like 16-9, maybe 15-7, 15-8 win. Denver is good. They're going to be ranked inside the top 15, but it is Syracuse. They're gonna hopefully get the job done against Denver. Our coverage starts probably tonight, depending on when we get this up. Thursday, we're recording this on Wednesday, but Thursday, action against Air Force starts at 5 Eastern time, 4:30 McClure Remodeling countdown to faceoffs. So make sure to tune in to WAER.org or 88.3 FM for that one. Game time against Denver is at 8 p.m. Eastern time. McClure Remodeling countdown to faceoff at 7:30, double overtime for Thursday's game. That will go up until 8:30. Double overtime for Monday's game will go up until 11:30. So a lot of coverage for Syracuse men's lacrosse. That is, I guess, it, because men's basketball is done. Women's lacrosse,
We
they
made it.
play. Yep, we made it. No more crossover season. Although Syracuse women's basketball Selection Sunday is in a couple days. Probably going back to stores. I feel like we
Oh,
can just
yeah.
like book our tickets already. They're going to stores, call it a trip, hopefully win one game,
Yeah, maybe
hopefully
they'll be
keep
there the
it.
whole weekend. That'd be nice, at least if they have a shot.
Win one game, make it close against UConn, and that would, I would say, successful season.
Yeah, get Coach Jack her second tournament win. That'd be a good feeling.
Yeah, definitely. Women's lacrosse plays Northwestern. Potential first big ranked win of the Reggie Thorpe era. So that
Yeah,
could be
I agree
good.
with that. I think it was funny
Bit.
that Loyola was ranked
Yeah.
above them when they played. Obviously, a massive skill gap in that game.
Not, wouldn't say, like, wouldn't say, call that a big ranked win.
No, not at
Northwestern,
all. I agree.
yeah. Northwestern, a little better competition there.
And they can't win there, so let's hope that the ladies show up. That should be a fun game, especially with a little Olivia Adamson rivalry thrown in there. One of the big players from the last two seasons, not really last year, sat out most of the season with an injury, but that should be a fun matchup for her to go up against her former squad, and hopefully Syracuse can get that big win on the road.
I think that's one going to be an indoors game, so that will be a little interesting factor. Maybe Syracuse has the edge against that because obviously playing in the dome. But that one's at Northwestern on Thursday. So, it's going to be a lot of news coming in soon. New athletic director probably going to get confirmed in the next maybe even 24 hours. Syracuse head coach, 1 to 2 weeks, we'll have you covered on the next Ostrom Avenue podcast. Listen, make sure to listen to all the future and previous Ostrom Avenue podcast, wherever you get your podcast, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, WER.org, and YouTube at WER Sports Talk, of course. But for now, that's all we got. Griffin and Josh will catch you next week with the Ostrom Avenue podcast.